Turn your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, in verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ announces to his disciples that he's going to give them another comforter. And in verse 26, he tells you who that is. He says, "But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name." We're going to talk about the Comforter tonight. I didn't read those whole verses. We will read them. But I just want you to know that the subject of our sermon tonight, or our lesson tonight, is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And we're going to talk tonight about him in the capacity of his comfort in our lives. There are so many things that you could say about the Holy Spirit, but this one aspect is tremendous. So before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to guide us through our scriptures tonight and help us with what he's given us. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful tonight to be here, and we ask you please in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. I pray tonight, Father, for the folks that are involved next door with the children and Bible clubs, that, Father, they understand how great the privilege is and how great the responsibility is they have of teaching children. And Father, how we pray that you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit even now and help them with the things that they're teaching. Give them the ability to speak in a way that they can be understood with distinction. We pray for the children to comprehend what's being spoken, to receive it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit will do a work in their lives to reveal to them at their level what you want them to know. Your own son, when he was here, thanked you because you revealed some things that not to the wise and prudent, but unto babes. So we're trusting tonight that what they're doing is laying a strong foundation for their lives in the Word of God tonight. Father, we pray for us in here. Help us, Father, to discern what's in the Scripture, to understand it, and Father, not only to understand it and then leave here with some knowledge, something that you've taught us, that educated us, that we could soon forget, but help us, Father, to be nourished by these words so that when we hear these things, we can live by them, we can be corrected by them, we can be reproved by them, we can be instructed by them, so that our lives will change and you'll be glorified and honored in all that's done. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So here we see in verse 16 that the Lord sent the Comforter. He's here now, of course. And that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. Well, you know something? I like comfort. I suppose you do too. I mean, I remember years ago, you remember Brother Hemmer was here Sunday. Years ago, 25 years ago, we were in Germany in the winter. And the place where we stayed had beds, and on those beds were comforters. And those rooms would get warm with the heat, and then they had these special kind of windows that you could open a variety of ways. We could actually open the tops of the windows and let that cold air from outside infiltrate the rooms after we'd get under those comforters and get warm. And I am telling you, man, I'm thinking about it right now. You know, if I tell you how it was, I'd put everybody in here to sleep. That's comfort. That's comfort. You might have a place in your house, or you might have a place in your yard that you kind of call your comfort zone. You want to get to that place when other things are stressful. Some of us have comfort food. Oh, yeah. Well, you get a little bit stressed and sometimes it's any kind of food, but there are certain to say, oh, I eat this, that's my comfort food. My wife's comfort food is chocolate. And she's comforted. regularly. You know, and we're always looking for something or someone in the world to comfort us. I'm going to tell you something. As Christians tonight, you have the greatest comfort that you could possibly have in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He is your comforter. And I'll tell you what, if you've had any experience at all with the comforting presence of the Spirit of God in your life, you have found that He has comforted you when you were distressed by sin. Have you ever gotten to a place where you and God got on the outs because of some sin in your life, and then the Spirit of God reproved you of that sin, and then you confessed that before the Lord, and He washed you in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God is right there to comfort you and give you that assurance? Man, what a great thing. He's there to comfort you when you're saddened by a loss, when you're overcome by suffering. It's an amazing thing. Being in the ministry, we've been with people who have suffered a great deal from a variety of things, injuries and loss of loved ones and disappointments of children and job changes that came unexpectedly and things like that. And it is amazing to see, in an answer to prayer, the work of the Spirit of God to comfort that person who's suffering. He's there to comfort you when you're sickened by illness, when you're troubled by fear, when you're confused by error, when you're depressed by bad news. Do you know that... I know that you like to keep up with what's going on around the world, and you'll check in your news source, whatever it may be, your favorite news broadcaster, anchorman in the local news station, or maybe a website that you go to or whatever. But news is bad. It's hard to find good news, and I don't know about you, but it puts me in a funk. I just hate to even find out what's going on. But you get discouraged or depressed by bad news. You get discouraged by failure. You get overwhelmed by just everything going on in your life. Those are real life situations. We have all found ourselves faced with some of these things. And I want to let you know, in every one of those cases, your favorite place or your favorite food or the comfort of your bed will not do for you what the Spirit of God can do for you. Those other things may help, but there's nothing like the Spirit of God. And so tonight I just want to talk to you about a few things that the Holy Spirit uses to comfort you. And the first thing is His presence. He said here in verse 16 of John chapter 14, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, watch it, that He may abide with you. How long? Forever. Forever. May I tell you something? The Spirit of God is in you tonight. I believe everybody in here is saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. When you get saved, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. One of the first evidences to somebody that the Spirit of God has come in their lives happens oftentimes, but not always, right after they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've seen it a number of times. They get this big smile on their face and they say, I feel like a ton of weight has just been lifted from my shoulders. Or, I'm looking back here at Brother Silas, I remember after he got saved, he came out of my office there and looked at me and he said, well, I've got a brand new father. And there was something the Spirit of God had done in there that just... He knew that there was a change in his life. Salvation is a real thing, and the Holy Spirit comes. And when He comes in our lives, you know, He comes to stay. He never, ever leaves you alone. The Spirit of God is with you 24 hours a day. He doesn't go to sleep. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't stay outside your office when you go to work. You know, he doesn't stay at the house when you get in your car. He's there. He's always with you. And you can call on Him any time of the day or night, and ought to if you haven't. I remember when I was in Green Bay, it's been, I think, 9 or 10 years ago. The church there in Green Bay, First Bible Baptist Church, Pastor Keck's church, fully supports Brother Rick Matthews in Brazil. We've met him. He's come here. But that's a very unusual thing. He didn't go around the country on deputation to raise money to go. The church got behind him, and 100% of his church support came from the church. Now, let me tell you something. When you've got that much interest invested, that much time, prayer, and money invested in a missionary, but you eat and breathe everything that happens in their lives. And the Matthews had twins that were 6 years old, and one of those, you might remember, was burned in a fire and then about 3 weeks later passed away. I was in Green Bay when he got the telephone call from Brother Matthews that Anna had passed away. And I'm going to tell you something. The grief that Brother Keck experienced that night sitting in his home was as if he had lost the child himself. It was that much. I had gone down there because I'd heard about it. I'd gone down there to tell him that I was going to look for Brother Matthew's son, who was a late age teenager, maybe even 19 or 20 years old at the time, to see if I could be a comfort to him. And I got down there and saw Brother Keck sitting in his chair in the man cave. I said, I don't need to go anywhere. The man that needs some comfort is sitting here across from me. Now, I didn't say anything. I just listened for, I don't know how long it lasted, an hour and a half, 2 hours, till I finally went back to bed. Why am I telling you this story? Because there are many times when the Spirit of God will comfort you by His presence, and He doesn't have to say anything. He's just there for you. And you know He's there. And His comforting presence does things for you that nobody can do, far greater than I was able to do sitting there with Pastor Keck. But it demonstrated to me how much His presence, just His presence, can be so very, very important to us. The Spirit of God is in you to comfort you. So when you feel stressed, or you feel scatterbrained, or if you feel lonely, or you feel worried, or you feel scared, or you feel sad, or you're feeling grief, just remember, before you run to anything, run to God. The Spirit of God is there, and if you will settle, you will experience His comfort in your life. I'll tell you another thing. He comforts you by His presence, and He comforts you by His promises. Look in John chapter 14, verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, watch it, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now here we're going to talk, we could apply this many ways, but we're talking about your relationship with the Lord and His personal comfort in your life. You know something? God has made some promises, and those promises are extremely comforting. And when God reminds you of a scripture that has a promise that addresses something in your life that's going on at that moment, there's a great deal of comfort in that, because it's like, oh, He's got this covered already. You know the verse of Scripture. It's not just a thought. It's not just a feeling. It is the real solid certainty of the words of God. There is such incomprehensible comfort in the Scriptures. You know, I've had to do a lot of funerals, and I've had to do a lot of attendance with people who are in the process of losing a loved one through an illness and an impending death. And either there with them in the hospital room at their home or in the church preaching, we'll come across, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The next verse says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And man, when the Holy Spirit reminds you of the rapture and reminds you that if you have somebody that you've lost that you love, there's coming a day, I hope in the very near future, when the Lord's going to sound that trumpet and speak those words with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ rise first, and we, which are alive and remain, are caught up together with them in the air, and you will be reunited with that loved one for all of eternity. And he says, that's comforting. Boy, when you remember that at a time when you're grieving, man, whoo, that just settles in there. It's like, you know what? We're just separated for a period of time, but we're not separated forever. That's so good. And that's absolutely certain. There are times when you need to be comforted by the words that God spoke to Paul when Paul was praying for God to remove the thorn in the flesh. And the Lord just spoke to him and he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know, in that passage of Scripture, I was just reminded the other day about this verse of Scripture by one of our folks in the church who's not in here right now. And in that passage of Scripture that we've looked at so many times concerning what the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, she said to me, after I'd preached, she said to me, you know what I really like about 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10? She said, I like the first four words, or first five words of verse 9. You know what they say? And he said unto me. And he said unto me. When she said, when I read this passage of Scripture where he says, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, I read, he said unto me. And apply that scripture to me. And I realize it's not just a general statement about his grace. It is a specific statement about the sufficiency of his grace for me at this time. And there's a lot of comfort in that. Isn't that wonderful? I never saw it that way. I always go right to my grace is sufficient for thee. But I'll never forget that now. He said unto me. That's what the Spirit of God does. He gets a verse of scripture. He says, let me tell you something that you need right here. And he brings that thing to you. Isn't it comforting to have the assurance of God's salvation? Isn't it comforting to know the reality of heaven? Isn't it comforting to know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, particularly when you're going through something that's not good? And just say, you know what, isn't it comforting to know the Bible says, wait on the Lord. And he shall bring it to pass. Isn't it comforting to know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. Listen, and he shall direct thy path. That's some good stuff. So the Spirit of God, you read that Bible, read it, absorb it, and then just take confidence that the Lord will bring some of these things back to your remembrance to comfort you. Here's another one. He comforts you with his presence. He comforts you with his promises. He comforts you with his peace. You knew it would start with a P. You could see how that thing was going, didn't you? The Lord Jesus Christ said in the next verse in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Now, how does he do that? He does that with the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. What's the third thing? Peace. Peace. When you pray, and you're not careful and worried, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, what happens? And the peace of God that passeth all understanding should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you ever prayed through a situation enough until you experienced the peace of God that passeth all understanding? You ever experienced that? You know something? When you've gotten a taste of it, when I say experienced it, Nobody can stand in this pulpit and tell you, well, let me tell you what it's like. Let me explain to you how this is done. Listen, one of the things that I have learned or begun to learn as a pastor is that we can stand in the pulpit or we can stand in the classrooms and we can teach and teach and teach and teach and teach. But until you do and do and do and do and do, you're not going to get it. That's why the Lord said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So if you have never prayed through a situation long enough until you have experienced that peace that passeth all understanding, then you know what your instruction is? Go home. When you next time dealing with a situation in your life that involves any of those things that cause you to want to pray to God and pressure you, and get into a prayer meeting with God and stay in it till there that peace settles in on you. I just had a pastor friend of mine who is making a very major decision in his life contact me early this week, and he said, I need you to pray for me about this. Well, that's all. What a privilege to be asked by anybody here. We're going to take some prayer requests in a minute. Or by a pastor friend, please pray for me about this major decision. I know what it is. So I said, I will. And I did. And when the time, he was fasting and praying. And when the time came that he was going to end that fast, I think it had to do with when the time when the decision had to be finally made. I sent him a text and I said, I hope that peace that passeth all understanding is giving you comfort right now. And he texted me back. He said, that is absolutely the case. And he said, the beautiful thing is, I know what it is that God wants me to do. I remember when I was first entering the ministry and I went to Bible college, and people would say to me, I'm going to go do this. And I'd think to myself, that is just lunacy. And they say, well, brother, I prayed about it and I got the peace of God. And then they'd go do it, and it was lunacy. It proved itself to be just as dumb an idea as it sounded like when they said it. But because they said, well, you know, I've got God's stamp of approval on it now because I prayed about it and I got the peace of God. Well, I heard that about three or four times, and in every case, the decision that the guy was making was just off the wall. I got to a place where I thought, well, that is not a way to be certain that God has directed you in the decision you're making, because everybody keeps telling me they got the peace of God. They're just winding up in Crazyville. And so for the longest time, I wouldn't look for the peace that passeth all understanding. I wouldn't wait for that until I realized one time when I had a major decision to make and I was praying like crazy, and all of a sudden there was something just came over me, and I'm not talking ooey ooey, I'm not talking about some, you know, light started dimming and weird things started happening and voices started. I'm talking about any of that stuff. I'm just talking about something that once you've experienced, you know what it is. There's a peace you can't understand. It settles in on you. And I thought to myself, that's what the Bible's talking about. And that nonsense I was hearing before, God hadn't done that. Those guys just knew the lingo and knew if they said, God, give me peace about this, that we were supposed to just buzz off and not say anything about how stupid the idea was. That's all that was just leave me alone. I've already sorted this out with God. I've already decided what I'm going to do, and I'm just telling you whether he did or not that God approved this. That's all they were saying. And boy, if you've ever had experience like I've had and somebody disappointed you with that, get over it and get with God and pray through a situation. And if you have to fast and pray through that situation to understand what the Lord's leading you to do until that peace comes there, then do that. Because you want to be comforted by his peace and settled. All right, he will comfort you with his presence, with his promises, with his peace. He'll also comfort you with his power. Look in John chapter 15. At verse 26. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now what's the Comforter here to do? Testify of the Lord. Okay? Well, Acts chapter 1 says, you know, that the Spirit of God's going to come and you shall be witnesses unto me, right? And have you ever gotten nervous about inviting somebody to church or opening your mouth and telling somebody you're a Christian? Or have you ever gotten nervous about witnessing? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and othermost part of the world. You ever got nervous about that? I have. You say, well, you've been doing it so long, you couldn't possibly get nervous about it now. I do. And I only tell you that to say this. Don't ever think you get to the point, well, when I'm no longer feeling nervous about this, then I'll go tell somebody about Jesus. You'll never get there. You'll never get there. But look at John chapter 15, verse 26. It's not you. Who's doing the testifying? We're just the witnesses. Right? He's the one that testifies. And you know something? When you settle on God and realize an opportunity has been presented to you to say something about the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've spent some time with the Lord in a little time in this book, you know something? The preparation of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. You will find the Spirit of God making that testimony. Now, some of you are nodding. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, I can't even tell you where that scripture came from that the Lord was using, but I know where it came from. It came from the Spirit of God. And you know what He does? He gives you power. And so instead of saying, "Ooh, I'm scared about this," say, you know what? I am thankful, Lord, that you've given me the power with this invitation I'm about to make or this opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord, and I'm going to let your Holy Spirit testify, and I'm just going to be the vessel. And it changes the whole way that conversation proceeds. It really does. And so here we have a Bible conference coming up in, what is that now, 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks? I mean, it's like yesterday was 5 months from now, and here it is already. And you're still thinking, somebody's come to mind, says, still thinking, man, I ought to ask so-and-so to come with me on that Sunday morning to hear the gospel preached. Get with the Lord and say, you know what, thank you, God, for giving me the power to do this. And I know that you want to testify to this folk. And so if you give me the opportunity, I'll go and I'll just trust you to get this done. Let me ask you something. He'll do it. He'll do it. As I said just a few minutes ago, you really learn what you're being taught when you go and do it. That just like makes perfect sense to you. So if there's something that's come up in your mind, you're like, you know, that person just came to mind. Pray for the Lord to help open an opportunity and then just trust His power to testify through you. And don't worry about it. Do not worry about it. And then you'll see and you'll say, wow, Pastor, that's amazing. That's just exactly what the Scripture said would happen. I'll give you one more. He'll comfort you with His presence, with His promises, with His peace, with His power, and also with this, with His path, with His path. Look in John chapter 16 again at verse 13. John 16, 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, watch it, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. You know, one of the marks of the child of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8, 14. Do you realize that you've got the Spirit of God in you tonight, right now, and He will lead you. He will lead you. Now, I'll tell you what, He doesn't like to be disobeyed. Have you ever noticed that? He does not like to be disobeyed. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. He doesn't beat you up for it, but He's grieved by it, and He doesn't like that at all. What He really wants to do is He wants to be able to communicate to you through the words of God, through that peace that He gives you, through His presence in your life, and direct you gently. That's how the Spirit of God does. The peace, the wisdom that comes from a verb above is first pure, then peaceable, next word, gentle. Easy to be entreated. He likes to just lead you gently along. You know, I realize when we first get going with the Lord, There's just so little we know about the Christian life. It's a little bit rough at first. And people will say about this kind of preaching, man, you know what? You're really beating me up or stepping on my toes or whatever. That's just because we're, you know, we got a lot of corrections to make in our lives right at first. And I can remember when Lizzie and Ori have a dog, a mostly chocolate lab named Layla. And when they would keep the dog over at our house, seems like at that time, maybe half the time, you know, I'd get up in the morning to walk the dog. Well, you know how a dog wants to walk on a leash, right? They want to run off and go every kind of which way. And so I wanted her to heal. And you do that when the dogs are smaller, because once they get to be 70 pounds, it can be a fight. Or a Rottweiler, and they get to be 100 pounds, it could be a disaster. And so you do that when they're really young. And honestly, and plus you can apply a lot of pressure, you're not going to hurt them much. And so I can remember when first trying to train her, man, there were times when I had to just grab that leash and whoop, back that dog, get back over here, and say heal and get her over there. Well, she stayed with us for a couple of 3 days here recently, and I put that leash on, she knows what to do. She just walks right there. And there's so little that has to be done now. But every once in a while, a little dog will show up on the next sidewalk, something like that. I'll just take that leash and just give a little tap. Boy, right back there. That's what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. He just wants to give you a little tap, just a little gentle leadership to keep you in that deal. Let me say something. If you're expecting Him to beat you up and drag you down the road, and you're still wondering why you're not being led by the Spirit of God, you're looking for somebody else to lead you. He doesn't lead that way. One time a guy was over in Ireland, and they got a lot of shepherds over there, and he was like, wow, man, this is cool, because I read a lot about sheep and shepherds in the Bible, and he was all excited about that. He wanted to get some illustrations. And he looked up, and he saw there was a guy, and he was standing behind the sheep, and he was pushing the sheep. And so he turned to his host, and he said, well, that's weird. You know, I read in the Bible that the shepherd leads. What's up with that shepherd? He said, that's not the shepherd, that's the butcher. Well, you know somebody, there's a guy that'll prod you. Our adversary, the butcher, he'll get you used to being beat around like that. And let me tell you, that's not how it goes. What you want to do is you want to get acquainted well enough with this. He's called the Comforter, see? Not the beater-upper, it's called the Comforter. So you want to get used to, you want to get acquainted with the Spirit of God in you till you can sense, spiritually sense, not physically, but spiritually sense His leadership in your life. Because as soon as He gets grieved over some sin or some disobedience in your life, you want to be able to say, ooh, I know He's not happy with that. Or he told me, I know I'm giving you some illustrations, but this is such a good topic. I don't want to break off until we get it. Or he said, when I was young, I didn't get a lot of spankings. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, honestly, he said, if my mother just looked at me a certain way, I just knew I was in trouble. And I looked at her, I said, is this guy telling the truth? He said, it's so funny. I'd come in and I'd say, what have you been up to now? And you go, well, I stole this or I did that. It's just hilarious. But there was a gentle relationship between them, and he didn't want to spoil that relationship. So, I mean, she confirmed that what he said was so. I'm only giving that to you to say this. You know, don't get into a situation where you're waiting on God to beat you. That's, He can do it. But what He wants you to do is He wants you to get acquainted enough with the work of His Spirit in your life that you're comforted by His leadership and aware when you've grieved Him, so you can get that stuff cleaned up and get right back in the lane and go with Him again. That's a beautiful, beautiful experience. Now listen, live by what you're learning. Understand the comfort of His presence. Understand the comfort of His promises. Understand and live by the comfort of His peace. Understand and live by the comfort of His power and the comfort of His path and leadership in your life. It will absolutely change the relationship that you have with the Lord into something that is beautiful and desirable and pleasurable, and you won't want other things that the world has to offer to interfere with that. It's too good. It's too good. And it starts with simply taking what you've heard tonight and saying, okay, I'm going to start doing what He said here in the Scripture. And see how this goes, and you'll find that it was really great instruction from the Scripture for you tonight. Amen. Father, thank you so much for what you've shown us in the Scripture. I'm asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us all love these things about your Holy Spirit and help us to continue to live in them and by them so that you're pleased, Father, and the comfort of your Spirit will really accomplish in our lives exactly those things that you desire. For Jesus' sake, amen.